Did you really just clap?
Did I clap? I've clapped twice now. My hands are sore.
The first one I didn't hear at all. I think we might have cut out again. We've got... I'm not going to blame Bluetooth.
I'm not on Bluetooth. I'm wired this week, deliberately.
Oh, so we can count that out as the problem. We can cross it off.
Yeah. It's not my Bluetooth. It's your janky internet.
Well...
Or mine. I'm just doing a play.
Doing a play. You're good at that. You've had training in doing plays.
I have had much training.
This is a podcast in which two friends talk about the pleasures, absurdities, and imperfections of being human. I'm Simon Ellis.
And I'm Lee Miller. Welcome to Midlifing.
I've got a little bit of the aftermath. I'm going to say the aftermath of eating a little bit of chocolate.
Oh, have you got claggy mouth?
It's so nice.
I don't want to seem like I'm critiquing your lifestyle choices, but is it not a little early for chocolate?
Depends on how early you got up.
I got up.
It's after 11 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Yeah, I don't know. Chocolate for me is an evening thing. Ah. Always has been.
Chocolate for me is
whenever
I'm gonna
you want
call
it.
Yeah, I'm going to call it an all-day affair.
Yeah, interesting. Mm. I woke up with a very, very strong hankering for cake.
See, what's the difference between a hankering for
nothing.
Cake?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing.
Did you curb that desire, or did you just walk straight into it?
I baked a saffron and lime cake for breakfast.
you rock my world.
I mean, obviously, I walked the dog and had a conversation with Jeff, and I was like, "Ooh, should we have the cake, Jeff?" Jeff and Jim was like, "Yeah, we should have the cake. We should have the cake."
Oh, you had already baked it and then gone for the walk?
No. I was asking Jeff while I was walking if should I make the cake, and he said we should definitely make the cake because he would
benefit.
I like
that Jeffrey encourages these kinds of activities.
Yeah, Jeffrey's ears are currently crusty with cake batter because he's had his head in the pot. Yeah, so I then got home and I made the cake, but while it was cooking, I came upstairs and did yoga. So I felt quite virtuous.
Yeah, that's like a virtuous circle, isn't it? Cake yoga, cake yoga, cake yoga.
Mm-hmm.
You're just one step off levitation
Nirvana.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, tell me, Simon, are you coming with hands full or hands empty? Because I have something, because after cake, I cried.
Oh.
So that might be a thing to explore, but you might have something exciting to offer instead of my lacrimosity.
So, yes, you do. You are a lacrimous human being, aren't you?
Ah, leaky of the face.
I've always got things, but because I always have things, I think we should go with your tears.
I watched the Adam Sandler and Carey Mulligan film Spaceman on Netflix.
I haven't watched it.
And it is the second film on the bounce that I have watched all the way through that has made me do the wet face.
Oh, what was the first?
The first film was All of Us Strangers.
Mm.
All of Us Strangers is Andrew Scott and Paul Mescal. And I think it was directed by a guy called Andrew Haig. And it is it's a ghost story, effectively. I don't think that's a spoiler because it's been described as such on
too,
various...
Too late if it is a spoiler.
Well, no, I don't think it is because that's how they sort of described it. But they said it's not really. Basically, it's an adult man who starts visiting his old family home. His parents died in a car accident when he was 12. And he encounters them at the age they were when they died and he rekindles a relationship with them. Whilst at the same time building a relationship with a new person. It is heartbreaking.
It is
heartbreaking.
It does sound like it's my cup of tea. Is it scary?
No, it's not that kind of ghost story. It's just the fact that the people.
No one
that
jumps
he's
out of cupboards.
No, there's no
scary music.
No. It's just these people are. These people are dead, you know, and we know that they are. So it's not like a sixth sense moment. It's not that sort of thing.
Wait, what?
Sixth Sense, you know, the film with Bruce Willis and Joel Haley Osment.
Wait, Bruce, Osment. You're going to tell me that Bruce Willis is a ghost or something? Have you just ruined that film for everyone? Next, you're going to tell me that Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father, for fuck's sake.
You got me good.
Okay, I gotcha. Good. Okay, so that does sound great.
Oh, it is. I mean, it's too new a film for me to talk about in detail. But I was just going to say the end of it is just exquisitely painful. It is beautiful. A beautiful film. And I cried and cried and cried. And Jeff's just looking at me going, why are you doing a big cry? Like,
make cake. Do you... It's actually not unrelated to what I was bringing to the content table.
Okay, well, before you go on... We can come... Okay, because the Spaceman film...
Yes.
...is... Basically, that's an alien film in the way that All of Us Strangers is a ghost story. It's not, but it is. You know.
I really like Carrie or Carrie?
I don't know. I've always gone with Carrie, but it may be Carrie. Carrie feels like it should be spelled C-A-R-R-I-E, and she spells her name C-A-R-R-E-Y.
Yes, and she should have blood tipping over her head at something during a high school.
They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you.
And if you're not imagining a split screen and really oversaturated reds, greens, and blues, you haven't seen the amazing 1970s classic by Brian De Palma.
And was it Sissy Space?
Spacek, yes.
Wow.
Sissy Spacek, yeah. And, who else is in it? Steven Spielberg's first wife, Amy Irving, and Brian De Palma's then wife. And she went on to be in RoboCop. She's a really good Nancy Allen. She was the naughty... Oh, and a very young John Travolta.
Really? John Travolta was in it?
Yeah, absolutely. And the man with the bubble perm who played... But I can't remember his name, so it's okay.
So, wait. There was lots on there. Carrie, I just want to stop for a moment and register that you know who Steven Spielberg's first wife... Do you know his other wives...
His second wife, and who remains his wife, is Kate Capshaw.
Oh, so you only got married twice, and you know them both.
Yeah, absolutely. And she was, they're both actors. Amy Irving, I don't know that he ever directed Amy Irving, but Amy Irving was big in the 70s. She was in a really good sort of post-Omen kind of film, with like brain control stuff. Oh, I really liked it. I used to watch it all the time. It was great. Horror of Obsy. Yeah. And Kate Capshaw was, of course, in the incredibly racist Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
That film has not aged well. I don't think it birthed well.
I was going to say, I don't think it staggered into the world without kind of making people go, huh, that's just a bit racist.
Yeah, it hasn't. It's true. Okay, so what I want to ask you is, so Spaceman you can recommend as well. Spaceman or Spaceman?
Spaceman. I would, yeah. I mean, it's not
those
without...
those little toy cigarettes you used to get. Can you imagine getting, were they called Spacemen here?
Oh, the little cigarettes. I can't remember because I don't think there was one brand.
Oh, well, I think they were called, I'm pretty sure, my sister will correct me, Susan, just messaged me while you're listening. I think they were called Spacemen. Can you imagine, why is it that you can't buy a sweet cigarette these days?
I don't know.
Oh, it's political correctness gone mad, Lee Miller. So what I want to ask you, though, before we can get back away from space cigarettes, is what is it about the pleasure of that kind of experience of watching a film where you, you know, just end up kind of ravaged by it in terms of grief or tears, or what is it about the pleasure in that?
I honestly don't know. I find it sort of... I was thinking about this the other day when I was talking to Bob about holding in tears. And I remember vividly when I was a young child holding back tears and my throat hurting so much. Do you know what I mean about that pain that you had in your throat holding in crying?
No, I do not.
Oh, it was something that was, it's such a visceral memory of me refusing to allow tears to come out, that I would be so sort of emotionally sort of grabbed by something that my throat seized up, and it was like, I thought everybody experienced this, and Bob just looked at me and she said, "What are you talking about?" It's like, you know, when your throat hurts when you don't cry. She's like, "Well, first of all, I've never not cried, so I don't know what you're talking about. But what do you mean your throat hurts?" It's like you give yourself this appalling sore throat. But it's not sore, it's like a stabbing pain inside your throat. And Bob was just looking at me going, "Nope." And now that I'm talking to you and you're in silence, I'm assuming that this is a me thing.
It's incredible, because I don't actually know. Like, I've never heard of that. I didn't cry for the first time until I was 45 years old. So no, that's not true. I don't remember the thought of holding back tears. I mean, you know, that's not a strong thing. I'm sure there've been instances where I think it's better if I don't cry here, but then ended up crying. I mean, it happened the other day at work. You know, just having a conversation, and I went, "I'm going to cry now because this," you know, and so yeah, it's very hard. It's fascinating, but hard to, empathize. I don't know what to say.
Answer the question that you had for me about what is it about these films.
Yes.
Except perhaps it is unringing a bell from my childhood. And I remember reading
Wait, so that means it's not about the film necessarily. The film opportunity to...
There are certain films that will get me, and these are the kind of films where it's usually... Oh, I don't know, though. I mean, no, I'll cry at Transformers when it's just a bit overwhelming. I cry if something is overwhelming.
Did you cry at Iron Claw?
The Iron Claw?
Yeah, that's the wrestling movie. It just went past on a bus.
Oh, no, I haven't watched it, and I probably won't.
Hmm. So we haven't really got to the heart of what it is. I mean, about... Because I have to be in a very particular... watching a film like that, like the one where you cried something about strangers? No.
All of Us Strangers.
Thank you. So we haven't really got to the... We haven't really got to the belly of that. So two things, like the idea of me, like for me now to sit down and watch that film is I'd have to sort of steel myself a little bit, because I know that it's going to hammer me. Not that I find that unpleasant, but it's hard. And then, of course, The other version is when it just totally catches you by surprise. And I remember seeing... Yeah. The best example, this example that comes to mind is I remember seeing a film about women who make things, blankets together. What is it called?
Crocheting?
It's in the title of the
quilting.
Film. Quilting? Yes.
How to make an American quilt.
You're like the... I need you in my pocket, I swear. Which was a decidedly average film.
Yeah, I want to say it's got somebody like Winona Ryder in it, or it's that kind of...
Don't you say a bad thing about Winona Ryder.
No.
Don't you dare, Lee Miller. Yeah, and I remember it was at the cinema, because, you know, those were the days. And I was thinking, oh, it's interesting. And then something that was a particular image. So it's called How to Make an American Quilt, for God's sake. And I, in the middle of it, I got caught with a memory that I'd forgotten, that my my father in his coffin had been placed under a blanket slash quilt that, Susan, forgive me, but I think my sister made. And I absolutely burst into tears. I mean, I really... So it was basically a kind of a thing of... effectively a trigger in the... in the literal sense of the word, of being pushed, of being triggered to remember a very particular thing that I hadn't realized that I couldn't recall otherwise, or didn't recall otherwise. And so that's got, effectively has got nothing to do with the film. It just happens, it's basically circumstance because of a particular image or a particular, which is different from what you're describing with this other film, right?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, these are films... where I was sort of reflecting on it while I was watching Spaceman, because it's a very, despite the fact that it's kind of interstellar, and I don't mean the Christopher Nolan film, which I haven't watched because two reasons,
Christopher Nolan
and Matthew McConaughey. I mean, if you're going to have two things to keep me out of a cinema, it's those two things together.
I really like Christopher Nolan films. I mean, I'm just thinking of the one with the Australian actor about who couldn't remember stuff.
I mean, he's describing your life, but Memento.
I've aged with the tattoos. Exactly, I've got, yes. I've got on my right forearm, it says Memento,
2002.
Guy Pearce, well done. Yeah.
I mean, and Carrie, the woman who was
from
The Matrix. Yeah. Carrie, nope. All I can think of is Carrie Henn, which is the name of the actor who played Newt in Aliens in 1986, but that's not her.
Basically, Midlife is becoming a podcast in which I reveal myself to be able to not remember a thing, and you have a kind of seemingly limitless capacity to remember unbelievable film trivia.
Yeah, but ask me if I could remember to send any of the emails I was supposed to this week or deliver on any of the jobs that people have asked me to do. The answer's no.
Great. So... yeah, we are. Does that mean you're yin to my yang, or is it the other way around?
Well, if you're successful at work, if you're thriving in a work context, then definitely you're yin to my yang, because I feel like I am doing nothing but fail left and right at the minute.
Oh, I'm not thriving at work, but I certainly can remember to send emails.
Okay. Well, I can't remember to send emails.
Anyway. So I don't have the same allergies towards either Christopher Nolan or Matthew McConaughey and the woman who's in that other in Interstellar as well. Again, she was in Les Miserables.
Anne Hathaway.
I'm fucking useless. It's unbelievable. I can see their faces. I can, you know.
Anne Hathaway, don't worry.
Yeah, thank you. So, not in the Interstellar sense.
Yeah, no, not in, thank you very much, not in the Interstellar sense as in like the film, but Interstellar as in out in the galaxy. It's actually a very small film. It's a very small film. You know, a couple of actors, handful. And even though I was kind of reflecting on how it was like hooked on heteronormative narratives, how everybody, you know, it's kind of promulgating a particular white cultural view of the world, all of those sorts of things that, of course, I'm constructed to acknowledge, notice and critique. Nevertheless, it's the kind of film that will always push my buttons, because it's just people talking about love, and it just always will floor me. So it wasn't, it's not something that it's not pulling something deeper out of me, but what I was reflecting upon, which is where I started that ramble, was that human beings are strange, aren't they?
I'm just going to say we, just to make sure we're not us-ing and them-ing human beings.
I'm definitely counting myself.
Welcome. Two aliens talk about films they can't remember.
But human beings are able to create these things that are so beautiful and touching and human and full of warmth and redemption, and at the same time we're able to blow up hospitals and kill people while they wait for bread. And I I'm just in the midst of cognitive dissonance trying to work out how we manage to do these same things, And maybe it's because,
it's,
you know,
the last time... Unsolvable, that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's maybe because the last time I cried was looking at an image of a bread box covered in blood. Mm. Maybe that's why I was thinking about that. But... Mm. I guess the corollary is that I found myself feeling, and I was quite surprised about this because I didn't know that I hadn't been, I found myself feeling hopeful.
Yeah.
Because of humanity's capacity to tell stories of care and love and redemption. And it just made me feel hopeful for a moment that maybe we aren't the worst things in the world.
And so is part of the crying about that? So it's not just about the... So I guess my, in a way, my question's a little bit like the sort of the idea that we're crying at the film, but there's also, it's connected to something that we're making sense of in our lives.
Yeah, I think it's about the thread towards hope. And it's tenuous, and I don't mean the connection is tenuous. I mean the thread is tenuous. It's gossamer thin.
Mm.
But that sense of it being anchored in something that feels like hope.
I read recently that hope is the other side of the coin of fear. That they're very tightly connected. The things we're afraid of and the things we hope for. Hey, do you think... Oh, by the way, I had a little thing which maybe is something you might enjoy hearing. Mm. You know, we had a dog, Lillian had a dog called Frida.
I do, yes. I remember a story of beef juices being dripped onto her head.
Exactly. So Frida was a toy poodle fox terrier cross, and she had oodles of character. But anyway, she's long gone, and I recently had a hot water bottle catastrophe.
Oh, no!
Yeah, it's quite a thing when your hot water bottle leaks. It's it's really a really unpleasant feeling.
Because you think it's you, don't you?
You do. It's really...
Just
really,
for a moment you think, oh, what? No, has that day come?
Yeah. And so I went and bought a new hot water bottle, which came encased in a fluffy case. It's a Boots one. I didn't know really where to buy a hot water bottle and a case. Because the case
Boots
that I
the
had...
Boots the chemist, for sure.
Yeah, the case I had was also... It was a goner. It was a fancy toast one. And it's it was just... It was also done and dusted, and it's a very nice hot water bottle. I can thoroughly recommend it. But the thing is, twice now I've woken up because it's fluffy. I've woken up and thought that Frida was in bed with me, nestled up in my armpit, keeping me warm. Twice, very clear dreams. Because, yes, Frida did used to sleep in our bed.
That's made me do a little cry as well.
It's so beautiful. It just made me smile, but it did also make me so, so sad. But, yeah, but what a, you know, I mean, it's quite an obvious thing, isn't it? But I just love that. Just such a little thing. It's fluffy, it's warm, it's in my armpit. Ah, it's Frida.
It's
in my head, in some kind of part of my brain.